Welcome to the Trill NBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose, Anuha, aka the Trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, guys. Welcome back to the show. It is 2 more weeks in May. Like, this is kind of crazy. May is almost gone. And last week, I started the breakdown of part 2 of one of my favorite books as it pertains to getting through corporate America. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And part 2 of this book is titled 6 Ways to Make People Like You. And so today I'm picking up where I left off from last week, and I'm talking about the last 3 ways in this section of the book. But first, Corporate Warriors Spotlight. Today's corporate warrior is named Lisa Opoku, and I hope I said that right. Lisa currently serves as a partner at Goldman Sachs. She is an experienced leader with 17 years as a chief operating officer for Goldman Sachs in New York, London, and Asia Pacific. Previously, Lisa worked as a corporate attorney practicing in Silicon Valley on venture capital financing and in New York on distressed debt transactions. Lisa started her career as a corporate tax attorney in Washington, D.C. Wow. I can't imagine the stuff she's seen just in the paperwork. Lisa graduated summa cum laude from the University of Minnesota with a Bachelor's of Arts degree, and she graduated with a JD from Harvard Law School. Fun fact, she graduated in the same law school class as the Honorable Ketanji Brown Jackson. So I'm pretty sure they are friends. I love it. I love it. Lisa, I don't know you personally, but Goldman Sachs is no punk. The few people that I know that work at Goldman Sachs, they are some of the smartest people I know. And so I know you have to be a corporate baddie to like not only just start there on a temporary assignment, but turn that temporary assignment into an illustrious career. If you want to read a fascinating interview that her alma mater, the University of Minnesota, did, I have a link in the show notes under sources. Lisa is just a bright light. You can just tell. And I love just the badassery of her career. So shout out to Lisa Opoku. Hopefully one day I'll get to meet you in person. And if anyone knows Lisa out there, tag her and let her know we gave her a shout out in our Corporate Warrior Spotlight.
Damn.
All right. Now, these last 3 principles, y'all. And something I want to give a caveat to, I hope what you're taking away, or my intention for you to take away from these episodes, is how I have interpreted and internalized these teachings, these principles, and how I work to activate them, not always successfully. Okay. So sometimes I just don't do it right, y'all. But how I've worked to activate them and help me in my career, especially in the day-to-day. I think one of the things we all struggle with is how to find the right words and the right language to communicate in an impactful way and to make sure that what we're intending to say actually matches the impact of what we're saying. That is like the key, but yet the hardest part of actual communication, is having what in your brain you wanted to say match what the other person received. I know for me, a lot of times there is a huge gap and disconnect, but this book has helped me tremendously in how I choose my words and how I position. And I'm, again, disclaimer, listen, I'm still getting feedback. There is still a gap, but it's something that I'm continuously working on. So the first principle I'm going to talk about today is principle number 4. Be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. In this chapter, Dale Carnegie, you know, he gives, you know, all the great anecdotes and everything. I think it's really cool. The name of this chapter is An Easy Way to Be a Good Conversationalist. And it really is about how you engage with people. And it really is about being, to me, intellectually curious. So I think a lot of the problem that we have is that we feel like, well, if I have to engage in this conversation, this person is going to ask me questions and I'm not going to be comfortable with answering those questions about myself because it's none of their business. And we know that sometimes coworkers can be extremely nosy because it's human nature to be nosy. As a nosy person, understand my intentions are never ill. I just literally just want to know, right? Like I just want to be fascinated about your life. My personality is just like that, which helps me with this tenet of be a good listener and encourage people to talk about themselves. But what happens when that's not you? That's not your personality. You just want to put your head down, do your work. Well, I'm here to tell you, putting your head down, doing your work, it will get you only so far, and that's not really that far. Right? And so you have to engage with your coworkers. You have to build a rapport with them. This is one of the principles that actually helps you do that. So a person in my personal life who I think, even though it's a deflection tactic, she does a good job at it. So my best friend, Krista, we've been best friends since undergrad. And she's really good with the whites. Like, she has white friends. I am trying to get more white friends. I'm not good at getting white friends, probably because I like to say the word nigga a lot. And I don't think it's cool to say that in mixed company. So yeah, I'm working on that. But Krista hangs out, like, and socializes with white people, which is always fascinating to me because I want to do that. It's fascinating because she does it in Fort Worth, Texas. And if you know anything about Texas, especially Fort Worth, it's a very conservative, very, you know, just think Trump supporters, basically, right? A lot of Trump supporters. And so she'll go to bars or go out, whatever, around her neighborhood and, you know, interact with whoever and everybody. And I love, love, love that because we should all be that way. Just in general, as humans, we should just all recognize our humanity and we all like to get together and drink, have fun. But she gets in these conversations. That's what kills me. Like, she gets into these conversations and she's really good at listening. And one thing she does in the listening, she actively listens and then she'll ask questions. Not like rude or ugly or provocative or anything. It's just a genuine, like, help me see your perspective. Like, I'm interested in you and I'm interested in your perspective. I want to hear you out. I see you. I hear you. She's really, really good at that. Now, the caveat to that is she literally can have a 3-4-5 hour conversation with someone and she will leave there knowing everything about them. And that person will be feeling amazed. Like, oh my God, she's so great. I love her. I love this girl. She's amazing. If you ask the person, okay, tell me what you learned in this 5-hour conversation. Tell me what you learned about Krista. And it always kills me because they don't know anything about her. At best, they know she went to the University of Texas at Austin. At best, that's what they know. They might know that she's from Fairfield, Texas, that she's from Texas girl, born and raised, and went to UT undergrad. And they might even know that she holds a JD and that she's a lawyer. After that, you're not going to know. You're not going to know anything else. And I love this. I love this about her. I love that she has this uncanny ability to keep people intimately engaged in conversation and yet not tell them anything about her. Nothing of substance, nothing you can Google. It is amazing, but it is very helpful tactic because now you have all the information and you can use that information. But what I do know about this particular principle, be a good listener, encourage others to talk about themselves. You have to have the right attitude to do this at work. Like, you cannot be like, I hate these motherfuckers. Like, you can't, like, you got to get out of that. I mean, you really have to dig deep and ask yourself, am I being ego-driven? Am I in defense mode? Do I feel unsafe? Because when you have that energy going on in your head, when you're just trying to survive in the office, you can't focus on this bigger picture of what you're trying to accomplish and using these principles to accomplish those things. Because listening to Becky and her Becky voice talk about herself for the umpteenth time that you don't care and you know you don't care and like you wish you could just like, you know, choke a bitch, but you can't because that's violent and like not Christ-like. And if you believe in Christ and like, it's just wrong. So you can't do that. So you really have to like, you know, woosah. You have to ask yourself, how can I take a step back and look at the bigger picture of what I'm trying to accomplish? And how can I see Becky in her humanity and not for the annoying, voiced, bitch-ass, passive-aggressive hoe that she is? Like, how do I do that? Because yes, you have to do that. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy, but it is doable. And I think the first step, at least what I do, is I try to remember we all have a job and there's parts of that job that are not easy. I try to level set myself there. Like, if I'm feeling frustrated, this other person's probably feeling frustrated too. And a lot of times we're in these situations, some of it is our fault and some of it's not. Some of it's just the system around us in the company. You know, sometimes we've all been set up to not succeed. And so it's so easy to get frustrated and point the finger, but you have to breathe and take a step back and look at the bigger picture. You have to go back to, okay, what am I trying to accomplish? I'm trying to get myself promoted. Okay, let me reset. Let me figure out what I need to do and say and build relationships with these people in order to do that. Let me refocus on them. So that's how I use this in action when I'm in an environment where I'm actually trying to get promoted. Now, when we get back from the break, in addition to being a good listener, we're going to talk about the words you need to use or the language you need to use when you're interacting with your coworkers or, you know, even in your personal life. These things are good too. So when we get back. Hey guys, it's Felicia here. So y'all already know what I'm gonna say because I've been saying it, but I'm gonna say it one more again. Can y'all mosey on over to my Patreon and sign up and help the show? And what I realized, so we had a phenomenal May session and this thing is bigger than me and I'm getting so excited because there's so much, I realize there's so much power in this group. So the people who were able to attend the session, we all got to network with each other. We chopped it up about work. I'm learning in this session. It was amazing. one of the big takeaways somebody brought to my attention was, she was saying, when I was looking for that new job, Felicia, like, I manifested this thing. I recorded my voice telling me what I was going to be doing. And then I listened to that every morning. And like in 2 weeks was getting a new job. And I was like, I did not know you did that, girl. That is amazing. So like, it was so powerful, the time we had together. I cannot wait to do it again next month. So listen, guys, let me tell you, if you're not in this Patreon, we about to build something here. So come on in. Good energy, good vibes, good messages, upliftment, encouragement, everything that the Trill NBA brand is about. So if you are getting any value from the show, come join us, get more value, and help me keep this show on the air. All right, guys, let's get back to the show. Okay, so in the first segment, we talked about be a good listener, encourage others to talk about themselves. But they're talking about themselves, but like, how am I just let them talk? I just sit there and listen and try not to roll my eyes and make faces. Yes, that part. But the second tenet is talk in terms of the other person's interest. Oh. This is the language you should use. The thing that I love about this section, so the title of this chapter is chapter 5, How to Interest People is the title of the chapter. And he was talking about, like, he talks all these parables and stories to illustrate his point. But he talked about, like, Teddy Roosevelt. You got to remember this was written in, like, the 30s, guys. So he's talking about how Teddy Roosevelt would, like, whenever he was meeting with somebody, he would stay up late at night reading about them and what interests them, right? They did their research on the people. And I'm going to put a pin in now. I'm going to come back to that. But he tells this story about a professor at Yale. And I'm going to paraphrase this, but basically the professor told a story about when he was 8 years old and he spent a weekend visiting his aunt. And basically some middle-aged man came, you know, one evening, and the man was, I guess, perturbed with the aunt. And so he was like, oh, well, basically this is my interpretation of this story. So the guy was like, oh, I ain't fooling with you. I'm about to pay attention to this little 8-year-old kid over here. I'm gonna talk to him. And so he said at the time he happened to be excited about boats. And so this guy started talking to him about boats and just very enthusiastic about boats and they all this stuff about boats. And so after he left, you know, little 8-year-old professor here, he was like, I was just so enthusiastic about it. He was like, what a man. He says, my aunt informed me he was a New York lawyer, that he cared nothing whatever about boats, that he took not the slightest interest in the subject. And so the 8-year-old asked his aunt, but why then did he talk all the time about boats? She told him, because he is a gentleman. He saw you were interested in boats and he talked about the things he knew would interest and please you. He made himself agreeable. Child, let me tell you. So as a Black person, what I'm hearing is, so you want me to make myself agreeable. It's triggering and it hits a nerve, but I try to take that step back, right? Because remember, he is a white man talking about white men to other white men, and this is their world. But when you bring it down to a human level, like human nature level, we get excited when people talk about the things we're interested in, we're passionate about. And part of that is because we feel like you get us, like you know us, because you're talking our language and we're talking the thing that we know. And so that's like, oh, it feels like we have a common interest. There then becomes this understanding. And that goes back to the basic need of, I need to feel seen and I need to feel heard. See how it's all connected? Who are you now? And so the ramification And the tactical ramification is in the working world, starting with, you know, even tailoring your resume, you need to speak their language. So one thing I've always told people, especially in job interviews, like read everything the company has and try to pick up on the buzzwords, the words that repeat over, the things they say often, the phrases and how they phrase things. And then you want to bring that language into your interview. Because what that then does is it makes the person feel like, oh, this person knows this. They get us. So for example, probably shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to tell it. So any coworkers listening, ha ha ha, boo on you. Because if you mention it, then I know you listening and I know you are not being a good steward of your time, worried about what I'm doing over here. So let me just put that disclaimer out there. But I was actually interviewing for another job. And, you know, I was talking with my friends who it was in a slightly different industry, adjacent industry. And so I was talking with my friends in that industry and they said, yeah, you need to say things like every unit is a snowflake. And I was like, oh, I've never heard that before. And they were giving me the language that they use in their industry because they both work in this industry. And so I was just taking notes, right? Getting the language. So then when I actually talked to the hiring manager and we had this conversation and I just kind of subtly explained my current experience in those terms of that industry. So to help her connect the dots, but then also to make her feel like, oh, you get it. You would come here, you would get it. Like, you know, okay. And then she got excited. Now, unfortunately, they couldn't afford me, at least not for that role. When they got a role and they can afford me, then let's talk about it. But they couldn't afford me. But basically, she left it as, oh, well, when we have this kind of role, I definitely will reach out to you. When we have VP roles, basically, I will reach out to you. But she understood that I got it because I spoke her language. I took the time to research what is their language? How do they think through business? And what are some of the words that they use? And that's so important. And even once you start in a company, you need to hurry up and get that list of acronyms. And you need to just, again, be a good listener, but be an intentional listener. And pay attention to how people phrase things, the words they say, especially those weird words.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
It's like, why would you call this something that it's not? Like, restaurants aren't snowflakes, but it's the way that they think through, like, you know, a snowflake, each one, they look alike, but individually they're different. They're like fingerprints. And that's why they call them snowflakes. And so when you think through all the business implications of that and how you have to, you know, think about how you go about doing your job and your capacity to support these people, if that's part of your job, then you want to use the language that everybody understands. And so you use that language. Now, hopefully that all made sense. So the big takeaway for this segment is talk in the other people's language, or as Dale Carnegie says, talk in terms of the other person's interest. Now, when we get back from the break, we're going to wrap up with the most important thing. But first, before the most important thing, we're going to say what this last principle is for this segment. And I think, again, this is a hard one, so we're gonna talk through it when we get back. Hey guys, so I know, you know, I have a website, trillmba.com, and you can go there and join, you know, us to get these career freebies. Basically, you know, sign up for our email list, get reminders about things. I'll be sending out some free career stuff periodically. I won't bombard your email box, nor do I have anywhere to sell your information. It is all for me. I take it very seriously to protect your email address and your name and all that good stuff. But I will be sending out a survey, and I will need you guys' help in filling it out, because I want to make sure I'm creating content that not only do you like to listen to, but not just for the likability of it, but also I want to make sure that it's what you need. Are you getting what you need from this show? You know, is this show valuable to you growing your career? That is what I need some feedback on. So over the next couple of weeks, you'll be getting links. If you're getting our emails, if you're already on the list, if you're not and you want to help me by helping me understand, you know, the content that I should be creating in order to help you survive and thrive in America, I really would appreciate some input. So look out for that in your inbox soon. If you have not gotten on our list, sign up at trillmba.com. And I really appreciate you guys riding with me on this journey to surviving and thriving in the workplace. Now, let's wrap up the show. So the last tenet in this chapter, in this part of the book, it's principle number 6, make the other person feel important and do it sincerely.
I cannot believe this shit.
I know, I know, I know. Don't they already feel important, girl? Oh, guys, yes, we know what it is. But, and here's where
the most important thing
comes in. You have to understand, to get what you want, you can't make everything about you, especially at work. It's not about you. And to get what you want, you need other people. And so you have to understand, to get what you want, like, you can't get it by yourself. There's nobody. And I know we have this concept in our country of, oh, I'm a self-made, blah, blah. No, you didn't. Not saying you didn't work hard. Not saying you haven't put a lot of effort and energy in, not saying you did nothing and everybody did stuff for you, but understand you can put in a lot of work and energy. You can work very hard, but at the end of the day, in order for you to climb, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're in corporate, in order for you to climb and succeed, you will need help from other people. You will need other people doing things in order to help you get there in all kinds of myriads of ways. And when you recognize that, this principle then takes on another life of its own. And it really becomes about the one all-important law of human conduct. So Dale Carnegie writes, let me take a step back before I say that part. I really like this story he told. He told a story, and this is at the very beginning of this chapter titled How to Make People Like You Instantly. And this is the chapter that's the principle, make the other person feel important and do it sincerely. So Dale Carnegie writes about how he was waiting in line at the post office. We already know how that stuff goes. And he noticed the job clerk, and the job clerk was just mundanely doing his job, looking, you know, sad and pitiful. Again, I'm paraphrasing in my own interpretation. And so he said, I'm going to try to make this clerk like me. Because, again, as a student of the behavior of humans, this is totally up Dale Carnegie's lane. Right? Like, this chap is going to like me. It's so Caucasian. So he said he asked himself, what is there about him, the clerk, that I can honestly admire? And then he really looked at that. And so by the time he got up to the person and the guy was weighing his envelope, he said, I remarked with enthusiasm, I certainly wish I had your head of hair. What? Yeah, like, okay, that's what you came up with. And then the guy, like, changed his whole demeanor, basically, and he started beaming with smiles, and they had a nice little exchange, and the guy just probably had a better day, right? And so Dale Carnegie goes on to say, I told this story once in public and a man asked me afterwards,
what did you want to get out of him?
And Dale Carnegie's like,
what was I trying to get out of him?
And there's like 3 exclamation marks.
What was I trying to get out of him?
I'm like, he repeats it. And so Dale Carnegie goes on to say, if we are so contemptibly selfish that we can't radiate a little happiness and pass on a bit of honest appreciation without trying to get something out of the other person in return, if our souls are no bigger than sour crab apples, we shall meet with the failure we so richly deserve. Oh yes, I did want something out of that chap. I wanted something priceless, and I got it. I got the feeling that I had done something for him without his being able to do anything, whatever, in return for me. That is a feeling that flows and sings in your memory long after the incident is past. There is one all-important law of human conduct, he goes on to write. If we obey that law, we shall almost never get into trouble. In fact, that law, if obeyed, will bring us countless friends and constant happiness. But the very instant we break the law, we shall get into endless trouble. The law is this: always make the other person feel important.
Blood hell.
Yeah. That's why I want you to understand, whether it's your career, whether it's your personal life, you cannot be so self-centered, right? And I say that on a very human level. I know many of us, especially as Black women, we are so lacking self-centeredness that we are self-sacrificing and we don't put ourselves first. And we're trying to find this balance because we have given, 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 and it feels like everybody has taken, taken, taken. But in this instance, I think, you know, one of the things Dale Carnegie goes on to say is that, you know, he goes on to talk about the golden rule, but the golden rule starts with you. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. You start, you do it first. Treat people great. But that also then means treat yourself great, right? So in this, make the other person feel important and do it sincerely. Well, first, that means in order for you to be able to do that, that you would have to do it for yourself first. How this shows up tactically. I want you to think through how you talk to yourself. How do you talk about yourself? How do you listen for how other people talk about themselves? One thing I learned in our Patreon session for May is that, you know, we have this profound ability to just grossly misuse humility in a way that, you know, we downplay ourselves. And I think that's a social conditioning that we have to really consciously work to get out of. But when you show up in your importance and you extend that to other people to say, hey, and you're important too. I'm important and you are important. That's how you sincerely make other people feel important in my purview, is that you say, hey, sis, you said that you were just a da 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 da, but what I see in you is this. I see you're a corporate baddie, that you beasted out here and you're doing this and doing that. When you can see the greatness in others, that's because there's greatness in you. So we need each other at the end of the day. We need to see each other. We need to hear each other. And it all starts with you. So no matter how frustrated you get with the job, no matter if anybody's being nasty to you, you can always see the good in yourself and thereby see the good in others. You can always see the importance in yourself, thereby seeing the importance in others, even when they are hard to see the good and importance in them, even when they make it difficult to do that. It's still there. Remember, a lot of times when people are reacting or showing you a certain side of them, it's usually not because of you. It's usually they have other things going on. They're human. When you give them that grace, you only make yourself stronger. So remember these things as you go forth this week. And I hope that you are encouraged. If you are definitely going through some challenging things at work, I hope that, you know, every time you feel frustration, maybe you can think back or hear my voice say, hey, girl, it's really not that deep. Let that thing go. Focus on all the things that you're working on and how you're working through it, right? Focus on building the relationship, making relationships even better, right? Like, don't allow the negativity in a space, in a situation to stop you from being in your character and the great person that you are. Let that thing shine, no matter what. You got this. All right. And if you feel like you don't, and you need some help or advice about a specific situation, you can go to trillinba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. In addition, you can always email me at ask@trillinba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person if I don't have the answer. And I don't always have the answer, guys. Okay? Again, that's trillinba.com/coaching to schedule a 45-minute consultation with me, or you can hit me up at ask@trillinba.com to submit your question or concern. I am still taking your listener letters. If you have a listener letter, please write listener letter in the subject line so that I know I can bring up your question live on the show. I will make you anonymous, but definitely happy to, you know, answer your questions live. And then if you do send me listener letters, you do get a free coaching call. So until next time, guys, keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.